Morning, church.
Morning.
Good morning. Oh, I had response. That was awesome. Hey. We are glad you are all here this morning, even though it snowed again. But I'm thanking Jesus. Is everybody thanking Jesus for the snow? No. We started off so well. But that's okay. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Would you stand with me as we worship?
Be quiet.
high-five someone this morning? Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're all here this morning. And you, Julie's awake. She's had two cups of coffee this morning, so that's good. Oh, got to fix my ears here real quick. So, you guys, we've got so much going on this week and what's going on. So let me just run over a couple things for you. We've got on Wednesday, it's May 1st. So what does that mean?
First Wednesday,
and we are excited about that. And one of the reasons why we're excited about that is it's so wonderful getting together with God's people, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and praying together. Amen. So this morning, when you go to the QR code, which will take you to the digital bulletin, right, where you're going to find all sorts of information. Pastor Dale puts up a bunch of stuff on there. When you go there, would you go ahead and feel free to fill out any prayer requests or praises that you have? But we love to pray for you guys. So please go fill that out if you have any prayer requests at all. It is an honor to go before the Lord on your behalf. So we want to make sure we do that. And then first Wednesday, on Wednesday at 6:30 to 7:30, it's a quick hour. And, oh, my gosh, it'll just help you get through the rest of your week. So we hope to see you there. The next thing that we have is we have, let's see here, I think that we have today. Go ahead, Bijana. Yeah, there we go. So today is our church vote for our new board. And Pastor Dale is giving her State of the Union address. Do you like this? Right? It's official, guys. So he's going to be giving that, giving you all sorts of updates. And then directly after the service today, there's a parent meeting, and the parents of all age groups, including teens, we're going to eat up here, and then we're going to split up the kids for, like, all the kids department from, nursery all the way up to fifth grade is going to meet in here, and then the teens are going to meet downstairs in the youth room. So please make sure you stay with us. We're even going to feed you so you don't have to worry about being hungry. So that is coming today. Is there any others that I missed up there, Bijana, that we have coming up? I think that's good, right? All right. So let me have the ushers come forward, and we'll continue worshiping with our tithes and offering this morning. And then we'll continue our time of worship together. So let me pray over this. Lord, I just thank you, first of all, Lord, that you're willing to dwell among us. Thank you for your presence here this morning, Father. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for moving in everyone. Thank you for the snow, even though we're tired of it. I know that you work it for good, so you have purpose behind it. So thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this offering that's being given this morning. I pray that you will multiply it and bless it and use it to further your kingdom, Jesus. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So we're going to continue worshiping as well.
Dominions, all powers and possessions are made.
such a new song last week. And I found this scripture that just is perfect. It's from Isaiah 12:2. And it says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense, and he has become my salvation." I just want you to sit in that for just a minute, because sometimes I think we get too busy and the agendas for the week are playing in our heads. The busy morning this morning kind of wore us out a little bit before we got here. And I think it's just good to soak in him just a little bit before we start singing to him, because he is the King of Kings. Wow. That's amazing. Were you ready when you walked in this morning to step into that throne room and to stand before your King and tell him, "Thank you. I love you. I trust you and I believe you"? So as we sing this song and it becomes more and more familiar, if I can get through it, I want that just to penetrate your heart, and hopefully it'll just start preparing you for your week and what he's going to do, because you can trust him. He's got your back. And it's a great thing when you lean into that and when you just take a breath and breathe him in and just realize our kingdom purpose here doesn't include our agenda, only his. Amen? So let's sing this together.
So this is
Deserve all of our praise and glory, and we thank you for being here, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for caring about every detail in our lives, Jesus, in this service, Lord, that we prepared for you this week. And Lord, just laying it before you as an offering, and I just thank you, Father, for turning it into something that you want. I pray that you are just glorified, Lord, and I pray more than that. I just pray that you feel welcome here, that we desire you to come into us. And Lord, I just thank you for the way that you move. Lord, be with us through the rest of this service. I pray, Lord, that as Pastor Dale brings his State of the Union, Jesus, that we will engage, that we will see where kingdom work needs to be done, that you will pull on our heartstrings, Father, to use our giftings that you've given us to serve you, to serve your church, to serve your kingdom so more people can come to you. That's why we're here. It is about you, Lord. And I thank you for what you're going to do in this next year. Thank you for what you're going to do in this next week through us, Lord. I pray we will be willing vessels. Even move pride out of our way that may stop or hinder us, Jesus. Because it's all about you. This life is not worth living if we don't live it for you. So thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Everybody, I heard some cheering and then some booing. We're not going to do that today, right? Okay. Good to be with you in church. There's a little boy who desperately wanted $100. I mean, he was like, "Please, mom. Please, dad. Please, grandpa." Nobody wanted to give him $100. I don't know if money was too tight or whatever, but he just desperately wanted $100 and nothing happened. And he prayed for weeks and weeks, and, you know, God never just handed him a $100 bill. And so he was pretty desperate, so much so that he decided to take a different tact, and he decided to write a letter to God asking him for $100. And so he sat down and he penned out that, let me fix this real quick so it's not jumping in your ears. He penned a letter, and when the postal authorities got the letter, it was addressed to God, USA. And so they didn't know what to do with it, so they decided to pass it along to the president. When he got the letter, he opened the letter, and he was so amused at this little boy and his faith that he decided that he wanted to indulge the little boy. So he instructed his secretary, "Would you please respond to this letter and put a $10 bill in there for me?" So the mail got sent, and the little boy got the letter, and he opened it up, and he was absolutely delighted with the $10 bill, and he sat down and decided to write a thank you note, because that's what good little boys do. So he wrote out a thank you note, and he sent it back to, where it came from. The post office got the letter again, and they decided, well, we did this once, we'll do it a second time. They passed it on to the president, and so the president then got the letter, and it read this. It said, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you sent it through Washington, D.C., and those guys took out $90 in taxes. So, speaking of Washington, D.C., one of the most anticipated updates that you and I, citizens of the United States, one of the most anticipated updates of the U.S., that we get every year is the annual State of the Union Address from our president. No matter who's elected, Republican, Democrat, Independent, doesn't matter. Every year we get an update. It's called the State of the Union Address. And believe it or not, presidents are not required to do this. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's not a law. I always grew up thinking, well, every year he's got to do this because it's in the law somewhere. But that's really not true. In Section 2... Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution, it just says this. I'm not sure what we're going to do if we ever elect a woman as president, but it says, "He shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union." So it's not required by law that the president does this. However, we, as a Nazarene church, are required to have an annual meeting where the pastor gets to give his report to the congregation. So this morning, I'd like to give you that report, and some churches do it differently. I know pastors who are like, "This is so awful and boring. I don't want to bore my people with it." So they have a meeting, on Sunday night or in the middle of the week or whatever. But I've always just thought that, man, I think that it'd be good if we could just make this part of our regular service. And so ever since I've been a lead pastor, I've always brought the annual report to the church on a Sunday morning. And so this morning, I would like to give to you what I hope becomes the annual State of Woodland Park Nazarene Church, my address to you. And so what I'd like to do is start by just doing what they do at the State of the Union and standing up to your feet and clapping for me. So can we do... No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. I don't want anybody clapping, and certainly I don't want anybody booing this morning. And so this morning, just take it all in. Here we go. Statistics and data. Some people love it. Some people don't. Most people don't like data. Most people don't like statistics. But we need data. We need it to help us draw conclusions, to help make educated guesses. We need data to help us maybe predict what's ahead. But the challenge is that raw data has a weak spot. Raw data by itself has a weak spot. It doesn't tell the whole story. It only really gives us momentary snapshots of information. And so if all I do today is talk about numbers, you'll only get some of the picture. You'll only get a momentary glimpse of time. And so this morning instead, I thought that we could maybe make this first state of the church a little more interactive. As of today, you probably didn't know this because you're not marking off dates on your calendar, maybe like I am, but as of today, I've been your pastor for 309 days. As of today. Oh, well, thank you. It's not even been a year yet. And so there's no way that I have some of the stories about our church that you have. There's just no way. And so for the next few minutes that we're together, I thought that maybe we could strike a deal. What if I bring some data and you in turn bring some stories? So before we get going on that, though, I'm going to share with you a passage of Scripture that I'm really, in my opinion, has guided churches like ours throughout the years. And it was written, we're not sure who the author of Hebrews is, but it was written, and we have the title of the book, Hebrews. And so Hebrews chapter 13, and this is what's written in God's Word. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because some who have done this have entertained angels without even knowing it. It's not even dawned on them. Remember those who are in prison as if you were there yourself. And remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your body. Give honor to marriage and to remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. This sounds so American, doesn't it? For God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the examples of their faith. My favorite part, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen to that. This church, the Woodland Park Church of the Nazarene, turns 49 this year. 49, you're middle-aged, you know it. Congratulations. We as a congregation turned 49 this year. And over these past almost five decades, you know this, there's been some wear and tear. There have been some magnificent wins and some devastating losses. Through economic booms and financial downturns, through births and weddings and deaths, through families moving in, families moving on, one thing stays constant. Jesus remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I wanted to take just a second this morning, just to pause, because we've got a lot to do in a short amount of time, but I wanted to invite anyone really. Does anybody have a story about how God showed his faithfulness through his church? Does anybody have a story about how God has showed his faithfulness through his church, more than 5 years ago? Anybody? I've got a microphone. I want you to tell us a story. Short. Anybody? Maybe you don't believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anybody have a story about how the church has showed his faithfulness? Anybody? Huh. I'm sorry. Oh, need to think about it. Yeah, that might be a tough one. All right, how about this? Does anybody have a story about how God has showed his faithfulness through his church less than 5 years ago, but more than a year ago? How about less than a year ago? Surely God is faithful. I'll get right with you, Janine. I've got one right here, Bernie, and then Janine.
This is more than a year ago, but less than five, and that is, God showed his faithfulness to this body when he brought Ben and Kelly Spittler to this congregation. We were on the brink of disaster. A lot of heartache, a lot of backbiting, a lot of destructive things were going on, and I believe that God's faithfulness brought us to where we are today.
Thank you. Good. Janine's got one too.
I I think God definitely showed his faithfulness in during COVID when Pastor Tim stepped in. You know, we didn't have a pastor, and the congregation already knew him, and he rallied and pulled us through, and Lori, and I mean, they just got us through. So God showed his faithfulness during that time as well.
That's good. Last one. Thank you, Jean.
I wasn't going to do this, but God just said, get up and do it. Bernie said the Spittlers, and when when they first came here, I was kind of upset with the church because I have been a president of NMI for 40 years. I have been on the council for 40 years. And when we weren't doing anything to help our international people, I went and I talked to Kelly. And so we last year started Alabaster, which goes out to all of our different countries and even the United States. The first year we did that, we had over $200 and some. This year, being the second year of Alabaster, we had over $600. I am so happy about that we are now reaching out to our fellow people from the other countries. And our children were part of that. I'm not sure what they did, but they all got their box that 1 week and filled it up and brought it in.
It's good. It's good to share stories. It's good to make sure that we keep that out in front because, you know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. Life gets busy. Things happen. You have things go on in your world and in your life, and it's easy just sometimes to forget. Sometimes we forget why we're even here in the first place. Do you know why you're here? If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a magnanimous purpose. That's a big word. It's big. You have a huge purpose. That purpose is raised high above whatever you think that you're here for. Are you ready? Your purpose, if you're a follower of Jesus, your purpose is to bring glory to God. Your life. That's your purpose. To bring glory to God. To make God more famous. To spread his love and his grace and his compassion and his mercy and his hope as far and as wide as possible. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. Jesus highlighted this when he was in a conversation with a group of people, and they just happened to bump into the end of days. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 25. He said this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, when I return, when I'm buttoning things up here, and all the angels are coming with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence. Everybody's going to circle around, and he'll separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right, and he will place the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, you're to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very creation of the world. And what qualifies us for that? Well, I was hungry. You fed me. And I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then somebody in the crowd says, I don't remember any of that, Jesus. Can you share something with me? And you know the story. Jesus said, whenever you did it to the very least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. You ever been hungry or thirsty or lost or without proper clothing or sick or in prison, and God, through his church, showed up Ever in a first-person story for you? Maybe that's not a first-person event or a first-person account, but have you ever witnessed the church stepping in and being Jesus? If you have a story, I'd love to hear it. I've got a microphone for you. Anybody have one? Benjamin, while you're getting ready, she's bringing the microphone. I'll tell you one quick one. I'll tell you my story. Really short. Michelle and I grew up in the church. So did Michelle. We got married. We thought we knew what we were doing. That's crazy. We ended up in Orlando, Florida. I was going to school at a technical school, learning about production things, and we were poor.
Woo!
Like, check the cushions in the couch, poor. Remember when Taco Bell was 19 cents? That was our poor. I had a Sunday school teacher from way, way back a long time ago. Her name's Nancy. Nancy was praying one day, and God laid Dale and Michelle on her heart. We were thousands of miles apart. I had not talked to Nancy for years. So Nancy, being Nancy, she sat down at her table. She's a single lady, never been married, teacher. She sat down at her little table, and she got out her checkbook. She wrote a check, put it in the envelope, and found out where I lived from my mother. Mom and Dad still went to their church. And we opened the mailbox. There's a check so that we could pay rent and eat. That's the church. Benjamin.
Hey, Benjamin. I've done a lot of public speaking, but it's still always a little nerve-wracking to speak in front of people I don't know. So I just moved here, took the chef position at Golden Bell. There was a family called the Haddockses that I met about 20 years ago. They were a part of me becoming a Christian. This is in Georgia. They live in Greeley. When their family's spread around. One son's in Namibia. He's a missionary there. I was incarcerated, and my name, while I was there, came up at a dinner for this position. Now I've repented. The incarceration wasn't anything very serious, so, you know, don't worry there. But, you know, a couple of years ago, Joel and Kevin and I, we talked, and the timing just wasn't right. But recently this year, they reached back out and interviewed for the job, and I've taken the chef job at Golden Bell and moved here from Georgia. And, you know, it was one solution and one blessing to a lot of things in life that I'd been praying for and waiting for God to do. And so through the connection, the body of Christ, the church, I've come to this point. And now, so I've been a chef for a while. I'm published as a chef. And I've done the rat race. And it was about pride and ego. You know, and in that industry, there's a lot of substance abuse, depression, stuff like that. And I've had to work through all that myself. But, you know, the beautiful thing now is, I'm doing it to, like a lot of that scripture says, I'm here to nurture people's soul. I'm here to feed. I'm here to do God's work. And, you know, I've completely surrendered. There's nothing in my life that I couldn't live without. I always have what I need. I know God's always there for me. And, you know, now it's just letting the Holy Spirit live in me, me dying to myself every day and just letting God work through me and be the hands and feet in Jesus. And I get a beautiful opportunity to do that with a great group of people at Golden Bell. And when I was still in Georgia, I was driving up here and I was like, I feel like I'm going home to my flock. Like, I feel like I'm going home. So, you know, God's just, he's really amazing and glorious. And so that's, you know, I just really felt prompted to share that with you all. So it's nice to be here and be a part of the family and everything.
So that's the church. The Haddocks family, I just met Benjamin this morning. The Haddocks family were instrumental, used by the Lord, to give his name to Joel. Maybe what you don't know, and I just recognized this morning, is Seth and Gary and Dawn were in our youth group in Denver. How about that? For the church, right? The church. It's the church's responsibility to be the church. Part of the responsibility of the church is to make sure that we are reaching out to people. We should be doing more outreach to our community and for our community. You probably know that. I don't want you to get mad at me, but I have to tell you something. Some people in Teller County don't want to hear about Jesus. Maybe you know one or two. So we're going to have to figure out a different way instead. We'll have to maybe show them about Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus? Okay, we'll show them. We'll have to do things for people instead of just talking to them or at them. We have to do the things that maybe in expectation is not a quid pro quo. Maybe we just do things for people because we love them and because we love God and not expect them to maybe even show up at our church. We're going to have to spend money on people and on things that may not bring them into our building, but will bring glory to God. It means that we're doing it for them and not for us. So if we're maybe tutoring at an elementary school or pulling weeds in a park or whatever, we're letting God use us for his purpose instead of us determining the outcome ourselves. We're going to have to find a way to take hope out to our community as a church. A couple ways that we're thinking of doing that in this next year. One of them is our summer VBS/sports camp. We're going to run a sports camp down at the park down here to see if we can reach out into our community and reach kids that don't know about Jesus. This fall, we're partnering with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, to go into local elementary school and teach them about Jesus. And hopefully they will find a Savior and go home to mom and dad. And mom and dad will go, "What? You never listened before. Why are you listening now?" And they may come to know Jesus. Who knows if they'll ever come to our church? That's not the point. The point is to glorify God. Amen, PD. I know. That's good. I thought maybe this would be a good point to share with you our value statements. These are what we value at our church. We give the things we love for the things that we love more. We love God and we love neighbors more than we love ourselves. That's biblical, right? We will do whatever it takes to see people come to know Jesus the Christ. To reach people we've not yet reached, we'll have to do things we've never done. Amen, Dale. Thank you for that. I know that's good. We're faith-filled, big-thinking, all-in risk-takers for the kingdom. We believe in a big God who wants us to imagine what he wants to do through us and through his church. We are contributors and not just consumers. God entrusts each of us with spiritual gifts. If you're not using them, you're abusing them. We are outwardly facing, listening for, and learning about how to actively love our neighbors and the next generation. At present, we're probably only a few of these things right now. You can pick and choose which ones you think we are. But in time, we're going to become all of them. These five values will be who we are, how we act, how we react, how we love the world that Jesus died for, because he did die for the world, not just you and me. Well, I told you I'd bring you some statistics, so I guess I should do that. All of this information, I worked at pulling this together, all of this information points toward answering the question, how are we doing in accomplishing the mission that God's given us? How are we doing in accomplishing God's mission? What's the mission? Well, the mission is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. You remember Matthew 28:18? To make Christ-like disciples. So we have to ask, are we accomplishing the mission? And if we're not, as a church, then what adjustments do we need to make so that we do accomplish the mission? Are we accomplishing the mission that God has given us? So let's look at some data. How did we do last year? In baptisms, let's just take baptisms for example. We baptized one. Don't let that discourage you. We're going to get better at this. But I just thought that I'd give you some statistics. We baptized one person this year. As we also have one person as a locally licensed minister. They felt a call into ministry, and so they're doing their work. How about district licensed? We don't have any. But hopefully we'll change that. It looks like maybe we have some work to do in that way. Baptisms and the call of Christ. How can we? And maybe this is some conversation that you have with your friends, or maybe we have it in a coffee shop somewhere, but how can we as a church increase the number of people finding Jesus and getting baptized here? How do we do that? How can we increase the number of people being open to the call of Christ to go into vocational ministry? How do we become a sending church, a called and sending church? What about discipleship? Well, we're supposed to be making disciples, right? We're supposed to be making disciples. And the one organized program way that we do that here at Woodland Park Nazarene is small groups. The one thing that we need to talk about at some point is how we can increase the way that we disciple people. But for now, this is another conversation. For now, let's talk about discipleship. How are we doing with our small group discipleship? So we're split into semesters. You may not know that, but we're trying to follow the school year as best we can. So we have a fall semester and a winter semester and then a spring semester. Then summer is usually people are so scattered that some groups meet, some groups not so much. But how did we do last fall in 2023? Well, we had 7 groups. Good job. We had 7 groups. How did we do in those 7 groups? Well, sometimes it gets a little sketchy because not everybody takes attendance as diligently as the pastor would like them to. So it's okay. But how did we do with attendance in those groups? Well, we averaged 48 over the fall semester in small group discipleship. Well, what about in 2024, our spring semester, kicking back in after all the holidays into the spring, January 2024? Well, we went to 6 groups. And of that, we averaged 52 in that group. And so all told, totally, over the course of the last church year, we have totaled 8 unique groups. We had a couple drop and 1 add. So we have 8 unique groups, which is pretty good. And we averaged about 50 in discipleship for those groups. I'd say that that's not too bad. I'd say that of all the spiritual metrics that a church can measure, the small group discipleship is probably one of the things that we do best. And we have other groups that meet. We have pickle. We have primetime events. If you're up above 55, 60, and you want to hang out socially, we have primetime events. We have women's gatherings. We have indoor pickleball during the winter months. We do a lot of around here, but in terms of discipleship specifically, I'd say that our discipleship number is pretty healthy. That can be great, but that can be not so great too if the number of groups isn't increasing over time. Then it just becomes stagnation. Then it just becomes you found your group, you're not interested in expanding outwardly. Maybe you're not interested in becoming a leader, elevating up and being a new leader. And if that happens, stagnation happens. And we don't want that. We want to keep moving. So that's how we're doing in discipleship. Another question that maybe you'd want to ask is our church growing? And there are a lot of ways that you can measure this. It's not just Sunday morning attendance, but that's part of it. But there's lots of ways. You can measure it in new small groups. We've already talked about that. You can talk about the number of baptisms. We talked about that. We can talk about how much money is being raised. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there's always this idea of how you can grow a church by bringing them in and raising up new leaders or new members. And so we brought in 8 new members last year. We did. You did. God did. 8 new members. Of course, we lost 2. You have death. You have moving away. We lost 2. How about just kind of over time looking at membership? You see that you know we're doing okay. It's time to make another push, grow a little bit numerically. But there's where we are. I don't know what happened in 2007 and 8. What happened there? Anybody around for that? All right, forget it. We'll keep going. That's membership. Here's attendance. Members in blue. Attendance in orange. One of the things about membership versus attendance, per se, is you really want to keep moving toward having more people who are not members attending than members. That's not to say that we don't want members attending our church. We want the new people coming so that we can put them into membership. So we're doing, I hyper-focused this over the last few years, and you can see there's an issue right there. We now have more members of our church attending than non-members. This is not a good trend. We need to change that. So that's how we're looking with membership versus attendance. How about how we're doing? Oh, here's one quick thing. This is August through April. This is what you hold me personally responsible for. This is where we are in the attendance figures. And right along the top there is 97. We average about 97 kids, teens, and grown-ups over August through April. That's a mean average of about 160, that number 161 is the highest average attendance that this church has ever had. I just took that from records, 49 years of records. So we're at 97. And online, we're reaching about 12 families a Sunday online. How are we doing about the nuts and bolts of this thing? How are we doing with finances? How are we doing on time? Good. I'm going to keep going. How are we doing on finances? Well, a couple things you should know is we reduced our debt by over $100,000 this year. Thank you. Yeah. One day I would like that kind of clapping for the number of baptisms we have. But we erased $100,000 in debt this year. We also painted our stage, which you probably don't care about, but visually you do. And we also added a new set of doors down here, which is about $6,000 worth of steel and glass. You're doing it. We're doing it. We're keeping track of we're doing good things that way. Here's some data on our giving. Last year's expenses, this is estimated because I didn't have April numbers when I prepared this message. So May 1 through the end of what's before April, March. Okay, so estimated $471,990 estimated expense. And last year's income, again, an estimate, about $496,29. Thank you. Good job. Yeah. So $471 to $496, that's 20-some grand, whatever. There's giving over time. You can see how that went over time in giving and finances. Ministry-wise, this is not inclusive of our house payment here. So we took that number out. Just the amount of money that we spend on ministry, overwhelming amount of percentages is in staffing, staff salaries, benefits, things of that nature. And then it goes down from there, 10% going to global missions around the world, 7% going to buildings and properties and capital improvement. I think that's 5% going to local ministry, 5%, maybe I should just look at this, 5% going to local ministries, 5% to district ministry, 3% going to the pension fund for the Nazarene pastors and missionaries around the world, 3% to NNU. What's NNU? Northwest Nazarene University. And you may say, why do we give 3% of our income to Northwest Nazarene University? Why would we do that? Well, if you looked on the news this week and you saw all the chaos on all the public university campuses, you should be thankful that we're giving some money to Nazarene universities where we're educating kids to love God and respect the country and be responsible society people. So that's what we do with NNU. So that's an overview. That's an overview of our finances. There are a couple more metrics that I want to share with you, and then we need to go on. I want to tell you about Kidman Week's Kidman average attendance. That's what it looks like since 1975. And then not so good in the middle, and then up, and then some down, and then up, and then the last couple of years, you know, kind of trending downward. That's Kidman average weekly attendance. There is Youthmin, youth ministry, grades 6 through 12, Youthmin average attendance. And then I'm gonna lay them on top of one another and show you just kind of as a comparison, Kidmin versus youth ministry in terms of attendance. And you can see that we're trending maybe a little bit downwardly. That's not good. When I interviewed here, Michelle and I came here to interview 1 year ago this weekend, by the way. One of the main drums that we were beating on was, or that we had heard beating around here was, we need to reach young families. We need to reach children. We need to reach their moms and dads. We need to reach students. We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to do that. And so that's the look that I wanted you to see this morning. So here's what happened this last weekend. I had to make a decision. And last weekend was the first step in taking toward trying to turn the tide on this particular issue. We did not renew the contract with our youth pastor, Scott Green. I didn't fire him. If they walk through that back door, I may be the first one to run and hug him. I love him. But we did not renew the contract with Scott. We just decided that we were going to go in a different direction with children and youth, and changes need to be made. And so as the leader of the organization, I have to be willing to make those hard decisions. And so that's where we are right now. That's why we're meeting with parents this after church, and with student ministry parents after church. We want to discuss this with them. We've done some thinking and praying, and I've created a new ministry role called Next Gen. Next Gen will lead ministry to families from birth through high school. We're going to be looking for a Next Gen pastor or a Next Gen director that will take over the leadership and the shepherding of children birth through high school. Sharon Wiese, our current volunteer Kidmin director, many of you know her and love her. We're not kicking her out. She's awesome. But she's going to step back as the director. She'll probably still remain involved on a high level, but she's going to take a step back, and this will give us a ministry continuity from birth to high school for kids and teens and their families, which sounds like a big job. It is a big job. It's a huge job. And I may even say it's an impossible job. And it will require a lot of ministry volunteers to help keep things moving, because you can't be in two places at once. I can't be the children's ministry director at the same time I'm with the youth ministry. I'll need lots of volunteers. We'll need lots of volunteers to keep children's and youth ministry rolling. But I do think that this will move our church forward in being able to reach families with children and teens. So let's take a breath for a second. Let's just keep something in mind as we process through all of the data and all of the information that I just dumped on you this morning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's true, then we can believe that the same mission that Jesus compelled the disciples and the early Christians back then is the very same ministry and mission that God is calling us and compelling us to today. I have to believe that. I just have a hard time. I refuse to believe that God put this church here on the corner of Highway 67 and Evergreen Heights Drive so that, you know, 100 of his favorite people in Woodland Park and surrounding communities can get together on the weekends. I just can't believe it. I really do think. I really do believe that God desires this church to grow and go out to meet needs, to connect people no matter where they are to the hope and the power and the love of Jesus Christ, to send out missionaries, to send out pastors and youth pastors and worship pastors and children's pastors to be a part of the solution for our divided city in the region that we live in the state and the country and the world. But we have some work to do. We have to be intentional. We have to be willing to reinvent the way that we fish for men and women and teens and boys and girls. And for 2,000 years now, Jesus has been building his church. And during that time, lots of things have changed for us. The world's gone from being flat to being big, a big round planet. We were once held on the ground by gravity, and now we can fly through the air faster than the speed of sound. We can even live in outer space. Information that took decades to reach the population can now be pushed out in seconds with pictures and video and sound to make it even more real. And lifespans have increased. Technology has radically changed, and who knows what the future will look like? Who knows? But as much as everything has changed, the way that Christ builds his church hasn't. God continues to put the word out about his kingdom, his forgiveness, and his love the same way that he did 2,000 years ago through people like you and me. About 403 years ago, and then I'm going to go. 403 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. Maybe you've been there. The first year they were here, they established a town site. This is where we're going to be. The second year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government started a plan to build a road 5 miles west out into the wilderness. That was the third year. In the fourth year, the group, the people, tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles west into the wilderness. Who needed to go all the way out there anyway? Here were a group of people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there. But in just a short amount of time, just a few years, they were not able to see even 5 miles out of town. They had lost their pioneering vision. See, with a clear vision, no ocean of difficulty is too great. Without it, we rarely move beyond our current boundaries. So I want to show you our mission field. There's others, but that's primary. And the question that I have for you this morning before we get ready to go is, what kind of church are we going to be? What kind of church are we going to be in 2024, 2025? What church? What kind of church are we going to be? Let me give you a little bit of vision that I believe God's laid on my heart for this church and for our people and for this community. I believe that God wants us to reinvent ourselves into a dynamic, life-filling, hope-giving, future-changing mission outpost in Teller County. Instead of, well, we're just a small church with small dreams and small impact. I believe God wants to do more. So I have three goals. I'd like to break 115 weekly average in-person attendance. That means over the course of the next year, we average more than 115. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe you don't agree. I think that would be great. I know that that's an increase of 18.5% over 97. I know that. I had a calculator do that work for me. I want to baptize 10 new believers. Not 10 old believers who want to get rebaptized. Not even 10 kids for the first time. That'd be great. But 10 new believers that have come in, however, and said, I believe in this Jesus, and I want him to change my life, and I'm going to publicly declare that I'm now a son or a daughter of the King. And I'd like to start 3 new healthy discipleship small groups. 3. With new leaders. Increase, grow, advance, move forward. Those are my 3 goals. If you have questions, you can call me. I'd love to sit and talk with you. I love free food. You can offer to give me lunch. And we'll chat about this. But this is the state of our church. I gave you all the statistics. I gave you some vision. I've given you everything. One thing I didn't do in here was lie. I didn't make anything up. I believe in the best days are ahead for us. And so here's what we're going to do. I want to pray with you, and I want to give you a blessing as you get ready to go. And then we're going to do our membership meeting. That will not take long, so don't look at your watch and say, oh, man, we're going to do this again? No. But I'm going to pray, I'm going to bless you and as you go, and I'm going to ask that this middle section will become the voting bar. If you're a member of our church, I want you to coalesce right here in the middle. If you're not a member of our church and you want to hang out and watch what happens, stay. Just slide over to the side so we know who to give ballots to. And I'll have a few instructions, then we'll vote on our board and a couple of other things. But what an honor to give you this first annual, I hope, state of the Woodland Park Church of the Nazarene. Can I pray with you? God in heaven, statistics can be really boring and really dry, and they can and kind of take the fun out of things. My prayer is that we can look at these numbers and match them with the stories and match them with some vision and really kind of come to a conclusion that you're not done with your church here. Certainly not the church in Woodland Park, and we believe certainly not this church in Woodland Park. So God, would you inspire us by your word and through one another that the best days for our church here are ahead. We're not talking about money raised or people in seats, although those are important metrics to measure. But we just believe that it was not by accident that this church came into being. It's not by accident that it was rescued over the years by people who have means. It was not an accident that the right pastors were called at the right time and the board agreed and the membership agreed. And that's how it works in the Church of Nazarene, and we're thankful for it. But we believe that you didn't just put it here for an accidental purpose, but there's a plan. And we want to honor that plan. So God, help us as we push forward. I think the biggest thing, Lord, that I would pray is that you would help us to be brave when you move. Help us to be brave when you point in a direction, when you show us, when you reveal something to us that's a little uncomfortable because we're not used to that, or a little frightened because we've never done that before, or we're just a little like, Lord, really, me? Would you help us to be brave? To step in and lean in and trust you, because you're the same yesterday. The miracles that we read about in your word, those stories are real. And you're the same yesterday, and you're the same today, and you'll be the same tomorrow. Help us to put our hope and faith and trust in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask. Would you stand with me? I want to offer a blessing again. If you're a member, coalesce into the middle. If you're not a member, just you're welcome to hang out, and then we'll get busy with the vote. May God bless you and keep you. May he lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift his face to you and give you his peace. It passes understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. May he give it to you abundantly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you as you go. Members, collate in the middle. The rest of you, love to have you hang out if you like. God bless you as you go.